words of our text, our Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. I will read those verses again, English. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates." Christian home, beloved of God, and the Christian family today faces many, many threats. Maraming banda. Marriage is under attack in our day, with many living together before they are married, with unfaithfulness once they are married, with the promotion of homosexuality, and now also the promotion of easy divorce. Godly living is under attack because perhaps especially of the world's entertainment as that creeps into our homes and families, especially as it does through television, for example. A television that's always on, a television that is used even by the people of God sometimes to babysit their children, and a television which becomes the means for God's people to be taught about the ungodliness of the world in which we live. And family time is also under attack. Very little time together for families. Very little time made for families to spend time together. Way too busy, they say, with the busyness of earthly life and with running here and there and doing this and that and with the entertainment that keeps us occupied individually and away from time together as families. So our families as well, our Christian homes are under the constant pressure to conform to the world around us. And as a result, many families, even so-called Christian families today, are going to ruin, are being destroyed. That ought to concern us as the people of God. Not that we worry about it beyond measure, but it ought to be a concern. It ought to raise a flag, a warning flag to us, a red flag to us as the people of God, for the sake of our families and for the sake of the church. First, una alang alang sa ating mga pamilya. Our families need to be godly families. Our families need to be places that are spiritually safe. Our homes need to provide an environment that protects us from the ungodly world in which we live, so that we are able to raise our children in the ways of God. But also for the sake of the church. Very important our families are for the church. Only if our families are strong will the church be strong. Only if our families are spiritual will the church be spiritual. Only if our families are holy and godly will the church of Christ be holy and godly. So that raises the question, how are we as God's people going to oppose this influence of the world upon our homes and families? How are we going to protect our homes and families? And how are we going to maintain them as godly homes, spiritually safe places for us and for our children? And the key to that, the answer to that, is family worship. Families worshiping God together. Families worshiping God privately. Parents and children together. It's not enough that we as families worship God in church on Sunday. It's not enough that just one day of the week we come together and we spend some hours worshiping God, reading the Bible, praying, and involved in those spiritual activities. This needs to be something that we do every day. Ano-ano. The question you face, beloved, is how often do you do it? And if you do it, if you do have family worship, how well is it done? And if you do have family worship, how important do you make it in your family life? How much time is devoted to it? We have plenty of time for other activities, plenty of time for other things to do, even in our homes and with our families, but how much time for the worship of God? How much time for God? Those things in mind, then, that we consider God's word from Deuteronomy 6. Using this theme, God's command concerning family worship, or armultos nam jos patunkos parsamba nam familia. Notice, armultos na ibinigay, ang karahan kung paano ito gagawin, and ang paganyak para dito. The command that is given, the way it must be done, and the motivation to do it. First of all, this morning, the question is, what is family worship? What are family devotions? Well, we call it, and I purposely refer to it, as family worship. Because that's what it is. Sumasamba ang pamilya sa Diyos. We know what worship is. We know what worship is because every Sunday we do it. Every Sunday we come to church. And in church, as we are doing right now, we worship God. We speak to God. We give praise to God. We give thanks to God. We tell God of all the needs that we have. We pour out our hearts before Him in prayer. We ask God for everything that is necessary for body and for soul, for life and for eternity. And then God speaks to us. He speaks to us by His Word. He speaks to us through the preaching of His Word. And when God speaks to us, God speaks to us powerfully. He speaks to us savingly when we gather together to worship Him. And that is simply what we must do in our homes and with our families. As families, we must call upon God's name. As families, we must praise God. Pinupuri ang Diyos. As families, we must read the Word of God. As families, we must study ang salita ng Diyos. As families, we must spend time in prayer to God. As families, we must worship. Worship God. Have that holy conversation with God where we speak to God and God speaks to us. That's family worship. Family worship is not some new invention of the 21st century, but family worship is what God's people have always done. Ganito ang laging ginagawa ng mga hinirang ng Diyos. You read the Old Testament. You read about Adam and Eve. You read about Enoch, who walked with God, and Noah, who served God and sacrificed to God with his family. You read of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who with their families worshiped and praised God as well. You read of that in various passages that are mentioned there on the outline. Genesis 18, verse 19, where God says specifically about Abraham, I know that he will command his children after him. God knew that Abraham would worship God, and as part of his family worship, he would instruct his children in the ways of God. Read of that in Malachi 3, verse 16, where those that feared the Lord spoke often, one with another. And you can be sure they did that not only together in church, but also in their homes and families. They spoke to each other, talked with each other. What about? About the weather? Ang panahon? About their work? Ang trabaho? No, about God. About the things of God, about Jehovah their God, about God's salvation, God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness. They spoke often one to another about Jehovah. And you read also of that in Acts chapter 10. Mangagawa, New Testament chapter 10. Verse 2, concerning the man Cornelius. Acts 10, verse 2. Isang taong masipag sa kabanalan at may takot sa Diyos kasama ang kanyang buong sambahayan. Naglilimos ng marami sa mga tao at laging nananalangin sa Diyos. So he did that with his family, with his whole household. He was a man who feared, who worshipped God. There are many other biblical examples that could be given as well. That's why the practice of family worship is, we could say, even a reformed practice. We speak of being reformed. And that means we are reformed in doctrine, we are reformed in worship, we are reformed in church government, we are reformed in life. Doctrine, worship, church government, and life. And reformed life means also our family life, our home life. And part of what the reformers emphasized, Martin Luther, John Calvin, and the other reformers, was that in our home life, we must be centered around the Word of God, worshiping God together as families. And that's exactly what the text before us commands us to do. Very striking, very powerful way in which the text puts before us this command of God. Moses, before Israel enters the land of Canaan, and before Moses dies, puts this before them. This is what you must do. You must do this in your homes. You must do this in your families. You must make the worship of God an integral part of your home life, of your family life. Not just a side issue, not just one activity that you are involved in the family amongst other things, so that sometimes in your family you spend time watching television, other times you spend time eating, other times you spend time talking together, and then if there's time left, you worship God as a family. No. As the Word of God makes very clear here, this is central, this is focus, this is a regular daily activity This is a spontaneous activity. You could say the text says this is a natural part of the home and of family life. That the Word of God is read and discussed and taught, and the family worships God. Everything is covered. When you sit down, when you rise up, when you walk, when you have fellowship together, when you talk to each other, your thoughts, every part of your family life involving and centered around the Word of God. One thing we should notice is that this command of the text is given to those who are fathers. Vinagai palo na samana ama. It is their duty. It is their responsibility. Notice what the text says. Verse 6, these words which I command thee shall be in thine heart. The adults are being addressed here, especially the fathers as heads of their homes. So the Word of God has to be first of all in their hearts. And then what must they do? Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. That makes very clear that it is the fathers who are being addressed, the parents who are being addressed. Father and mother, yes, but especially the father, because the father is the head of the household, the head of the family. Angulo nang tahana. He is the one who represents Christ in the family. And he is the one who must lead and guide and direct his family in spiritual things. Jesus Christ is head of his family, head of his church. He leads, he guides, and he directs his spiritual family. The Father, as he represents Christ in the home, must do the same. So fathers must take that responsibility seriously. From a very practical point of view, that means this. It's the father in the home who says, let us worship God as a family. He does not wait for his wife to suggest that. He does not wait even for the children to decide that this would be a good thing to do. But the father takes the lead, the leadership. And that doesn't mean that the wife is not involved. That does not mean that the wife has to be silent. The wife can also contribute in family worship. She also has insights into the Word of God. She also knows the needs of their children that must be addressed and ought to be addressed through the Word of God. And she also must lead the family in worship when the father is absent, when he cannot be there. The father, of course, behind her, seeing to it that the family worship is still done. But the father is the one who is responsible as the head of the home. He is the leader. Dapat silai matatag fanal nang na mga leader sa kanilang mga tahana. The Word of God gives us a strong, a forceful example in Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. The very end of that verse, where Joshua says at the end of 24:15, Nunet sa kanang akin at sa aking sambahayan, kami ay maglilingkod sa Panginoon. Ngunit sa ganan akin at sa aking sambahayan, kami ay maglilingkod sa Panginoon. Joshua was a father who was concerned not only for himself, concerned not only that he himself be a spiritual man of God and serve God, but also concerned for his family. What does he say? I am responsible for my family, and I must see to it, and I will see to it as the father, as the head of this house, that not only my family serves God, or not only that I serve God, but that we all together, my family with me, serving the Lord. That's what all godly fathers must say and do. They must be leaders, not weak men who let anything go, not weak men who easily skip family worship because, well, it just doesn't work very well today. It's not good timing tonight. We've been way too busy with other things today, but providing proper leadership, taking a stand, making sure that family worship is conducted at all, and making sure as well as the father that the family is there. Just like Joshua, as for me and my house, my family, we will serve Jehovah. We will do that together. And so the father says, the whole family will be here. All the children, wife, all of us together to worship the Lord our God as a family. We must say what Joshua did. And that brings us to our second point, the way it must be done. Kang paraan kung paano ito gagawin. The text is clear concerning how we ought to do it. And what the text first of all teaches us is something concerning the content of family worship. Patungkol sa nilalaman ng family worship. What is the content? The content of family worship is simply this. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Bibles. You notice that's what the text is all about. Fathers and parents are commanded to teach something to their children. What is it that they must teach to their children? They have to teach their children, verse 6, these words which I command thee this day, but God says, teach them. And what are the words? They are the words of God. They are the words of God in verses 4 and 5. The words of God that speak of God as the God who has delivered his people from the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, and the God who calls his people to love him. That's the Word of God. That's the Bible. The Gospel. The Word of God. His commandments. The very content and focus of family worship. And what is, of course, very striking in our text, as we mentioned earlier, is that this Word of God had to surround the people of God in their homes. What does the text say? It tells us, let that Word of God be something that you speak of and talk of when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So every moment, the Word of God is at the forefront. You're thinking of it. You're guided by it. It's your light. It's your lamp for you and for your family. But even more than that, verses 8 and 9, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And that doesn't mean that we literally today should be doing that and writing the Bible all over the walls of our house, writing God's Word on our hands, having God's Word as part of the clothing that we wear so that it's always before our eyes, writing it, for example, on the cap or the lid of our hats and so on. That's not what the text is saying, but the text is teaching us that for the children of Israel, the Word of God had to be in a place that was prominent, always before their minds. You could say they had to decorate their homes with the Word of God, so that wherever they looked, wherever they turned, wherever they went, whatever they did, whatever activity they were involved in, God's Word was before their minds. God's Word everywhere. God's Word, you could say, surrounding them in their homes and in their families. Not one thing done without the Word of God. And Salita Nang Jolse de Patmaging Pangunahensa family worship. So we must, in family worship, have the Word of God. Not just have our Bibles, but use our Bibles. Otherwise, what's the use even of having the Bible? We have Bibles now. Are we using them? Not just on Sunday, but in our homes, in our families. Shouldn't have a Bible that sits on the shelf and collects dust. Alikabok. The Bible should be in our hands. The Bible should be in front of our eyes. The Bible should be in constant use by us. So that after a while, our Bibles don't look new anymore. They're worn out. Because we've been using them. Well, if the Bible is to be the content of family worship, that implies a number of things. It implies, first of all, this, that we have to read it. It's true that we can sometimes use devotional books, but they do not take the place of the Word of God. They help us understand the Word of God, and they can be helpful in causing us to be regular in our family devotions, because often those devotional books are dated. This is your devotion for July 3, and this is for July 4, and July 5, and so on. They do not replace, they are not a substitute for the Word of God itself. Not a substitute for taking God's Word and reading God's Word every day and reading God's Word systematically. That's the best way too in family devotions. Let me be practical here. That's the best way in family devotions too, to read God's Word systematically. Not jumping around from this text and then next day over here and then the next day back here and then something else for the following day. But as families, reading God's Word from Genesis to Revelation, there can even be things that can help us in that. I was meaning to bring along a copy of a way in which we can read the whole Bible chronologically. So they can read Genesis through Revelation, but everything is put in order of how it occurred in the history of God's people in the Old Testament and the history of God's people in the New Testament. Lord willing, I can do that susanod. But nevertheless, reading the Word of God from beginning to end. In doing that, in reading the Word of God, it's also, from a practical point of view, useful that every one of us sitting around the table has our own Bible. Or we share a Bible with someone and we follow along. And maybe even take turns. The father reads a verse and then each of the children take turns reading a verse and it's back to the father so that we're all engaged, we're involved, we're participating in the reading of the Word of God in our family worship. But secondly, the Bible must be explained. Dapat ipaliwanag ang salita ng Diyos. God's command in the text, you'll notice, is not simply to families read, my commandments, read my words in your homes, read my words to your children. But what does the text say? God's command is teach. Teach. And also God's command is talk of them. Discuss them. And so it's not just enough to read the Bible and pray, but God's word must be explained to the family. Be instructive. That's what family worship is for. A learning time for the whole family so that we can understand God's word better. Understand God's word together. And it's often good, therefore, that as we lead, as fathers or mothers lead the family in devotions, if mothers must do that, we ask questions of the children. Make sure they're listening. What was that verse that I just read about? So that you know they are paying attention and you know that they understand. And it's also, from that point of view, beneficial too that we read a shorter passage of the Word of God so that that passage is understood, rather than reading a great big long chapter, many, many verses, but we don't have the opportunity and we're not able to take the time to explain what we have read. So explaining the Bible. And then thirdly, we can mention regarding the Word of God being the content of family worship that the Word of God must be applied. Now that really underscores one of the reasons why we need family worship. Family worship. So that the Word of God can be applied to the individual needs of all the different members of the family. That's something that a minister cannot do on Sunday. He doesn't know the individual struggles of every member of the family. He cannot, and even if he did, he certainly cannot in two sermons every Sunday address all the struggles and all the spiritual needs of all the members of the congregation. Family time is the opportunity for that. And you can be sure those needs are there in the family. The wife and the children have struggles in their life. And one of the greatest struggle, of course, is the struggle that we all have with sin. Sin. And the father, who loves his family, knows these things about his family. He will make work of being aware of those things if he loves his wife and his children. He will have an interest in their daily lives. And he will perhaps even, as they are eating their meal together, be asking them about their day. What is it that you face? What is it that you struggled with today? And thinking of those things with a view to leading his family in worship in the Word of God. He will pray for wisdom, because that's what it takes. Wisdom to be able to apply the Word of God to the individual needs of the members of the family. That's the purpose of family worship. That's the purpose of our use of the Word of God, that in all our struggles, in all our disappointments, in all the sadness of life, in all the joys of life as well, the successes of life also, but then also all, and especially all our struggles with sin, we go to the Word of God. Because the Word of God points us to God Himself. And the Word of God brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we need daily in our family lives. So the Word of God must be the content. It's not enough, as I said earlier, for God's people simply to turn to the Bible and turn to the Word of God one day of the week, Sunday, and think, well, now I've feasted on the Word of God and that will hold me up spiritually for six more days and then I'll come back for my next meal of spiritual food. We did that with our physical bodies. we'd be sick and we would die. Spiritually, we need food of the Word of God as often as we need our physical food. And then two more things you'll notice that the text says about this. One thing that it does is that it teaches us that we must do this frequently. It ought to be a daily activity. Ito ai dapat ginagawa ng regular. See that in the text. What must they do? They must teach their children the Word of God, and the Word of God must be part of their life when they're sitting down, when they're walking, when they lie down, when they go to bed at night, and when they rise up in the morning. Frequent activity. Not that we can do it all the time, not that a family, every moment that is together in the home, is reading the Word of God and praying and worshiping God. But the point is, this must come first in our family life. And everything else in the family must revolve around the worship of God, not the other way around. That's often, I think, how it is. And that's often what it can be a temptation to be for myself as well. Busy with this and busy with that and busy with something else. And if there's time left, then we will have family worship, family devotions. We will have it only if it fits in with everything else. That's not the way it ought to be. God's Word first. And there, in that regard, the Bible gives us examples. Examples of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, who three times a day worshiped God. And the psalmist in Psalm 55, verse 17, where he says, "At evening and at morning and at noon will I pray, worshiping God three times a day." That's what we should strive for as families, too. Again, from a very practical point of view, what that requires is that we have a set time for family worship. It's not going to work if we just say we'll do it when it fits in. We'll find a time every day, and so one day it's at this time, the next day it's at a different time. That's not going to work. Then it won't be regular and faithful. And a good time is at meal times. We should make a point of having our meals together, starting our meals with a word of prayer, spending time together eating, at the end of the meal, again, prayer, but also then, let's open God's Word together. Let's read the Bible. Let's spend time discussing God's Word for our spiritual food. We receive physical, we also need spiritual. If that's not possible for us to do at meal times, then we certainly need to set a time of day for family worship. My family, when we were growing up, my parents made a point of having family worship with every meal. In fact, in the mornings, my parents would be busy early, 4:30, 5 a.m., they would be taking care of the cattle on the farm, milking the cows. But before they returned home, they would get a message to us to get out of bed at a set time every day, 6:30. And we had to get out of bed, get breakfast ready, and get everyone ready for school or for work, so that when my parents came back from finishing the chores of milking the cows, we could have breakfast together, and then go to work and so on. And the same in the evening, a set time, meal times, when we're back from work, back from school, and so on. And one thing that my father always did in the mornings, because the mornings could be rushed, the mornings could be very busy, was he did this. For our breakfast devotions, we did that before. That came first. Before we ate our meal, before we ate breakfast, the Bible was read, and we prayed together as a family. In fact, waited till after breakfast, then someone had to rush off because the bus was coming, and someone else had to rush off because their ride was there. So he made that a priority. So as I said, a good time can be meal times to help us be regular, making this a daily activity. It ought to be a standard part of our daily family life. It ought to be a daily routine. In fact, it ought to be so much so that it is a daily routine that you feel guilty if you skip it. Feel guilty if you don't do it. Or even this, little children notice and they say, well, we haven't had devotions. I've heard that too. We haven't read the Bible. We haven't prayed. So much a part of daily life that we feel guilty, or we need to be reminded sometimes by our children. And then secondly, as far as the text, it also tells us to do it diligently. Thou shalt teach them diligently, verse 7. Ito e depat ginagoan nang masika. And that points to taking family devotion seriously. Not just quickly reading the Bible and getting it over with so that we can quickly move on to other things, but devoting time to our devotions. Otherwise, we are hypocrites. Hypocrites that are described in Mark 7. This people, Christ said, draws near unto me with their lips, their mouths, they say all the right things, but their hearts are far from me. Not just go through the motions, not just do it because it has to be done, but do it from the heart. Take it seriously, as Christ emphasizes in what he says there in Mark 7, verses 6 and 7. May that not be true of us. And it also points to being faithful. Don't let anything easily prevent you from having your family worship. Not even busyness. Busyness with all kinds of other things. We have so much time, don't we? For everything else. Time for television. Time for the internet. Time for Facebook, time for playing with friends, time for eating, but so little time for our God. It ought not to be that way. We should make work of it and work hard to make sure that the Word of God is read, is understood, and is studied. It surrounds us. The Word of God is always right there. Always a big part of our family life. And so finally, and briefly, the motivation to do it. Ang pagangyak para dito. Well, first and foremost, our motive is love for God. Ang ating pag-ibig sa Diyos. Notice that in the context, verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And that leads into the command to do this in our homes. So, there's the motive. We love God. We love Him who first loved us. We love Him who in His love for us has saved us from sin. We love Him who in His marvelous love for us has given us His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we show our love for God? By obeying God's commandments. This commandment too. We show our love for God by worshipping Him. We show our love for God by coming to church each Lord's Day and expressing our praise and thanks and worship. But also daily in our homes. Do you love God? Then you will worship God. The God who has first loved you. And secondly, the motive is love for the church. Ang ating pag-ibig sa iglesia.
If you love the church, then you will be concerned for the church's future. If you are concerned for the church's future, then you will raise your children to be spiritual and godly for the sake of the church. And so with a view to the church's welfare and with a view to the church's future good, by the grace of God, you raise your children to be godly. To raise your children to be solid, faithful, spiritually minded children who can be that also as members of the church. Let that motivate you as well to conduct family worship each day as the Word of God requires. And then thirdly, the motive is love for your family. Love for your children. Ating pagibigsa ating mga anak. And that is, of course, a spiritual love. A loving concern for the welfare of the souls of your family. The Word of God in 1 John and also 3 John has the child of God saying this. The godly father saying this. The godly mother saying this. I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in the truth. Greatest joy of a godly parent. And that is our joy because we know God is gracious to us and to our children as our covenant God. As covenant God, His promises to save believers and their children, and He uses means to accomplish that, as He uses parents especially to bring up their children in the fear of God, and He gives fruit. Fruit in the souls of the children. And family worship is a significant means that parents do and are used by God in that way for the spiritual welfare of the souls of their children. No greater influence on our children than the home. A worldly home produces worldly children. A spiritual home is a great spiritual good for our children. And the time that you have as parents with your children is very limited. You may think, well, I've got plenty of time. I've got 15, 20 years or so before my children will be leaving the home. But those years will go past very quickly. Before you know it, your children have grown up. Before you know it, they're gone. You must raise them when they're young. Raise them when they are under your wings. Raise them while it's today. And you have the opportunity today to be used of God for the spiritual welfare of your children. May we then be very mindful of this command of God and led by God to be faithful. Then it will be spiritually beneficial. Families together growing in the grace and knowledge of God in Jesus Christ. Together learning how great and gracious and good our God is. And together learning to trust Him more and more. And God will bless families who worship together by saving them. Saving believers and their children. And use that family worship as a means to work faith and godliness in the children He has given. May God grant us that faithfulness and that blessing. Amen. Let us pray. O great God, our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. May Thy Word be written upon our hearts, our guide in life, the Word that we delight in daily as families, the Word that we use as a lamp unto our feet and a light on our pathway every day of our earthly pilgrimage. So bless us through Thy Word this morning. In Jesus' name, Amen.